this Wednesday, as we approach our observance of Lent, I'm increasingly aware of the efforts by some who want to shed this introspective facet of the Christian life that happens during Lent, the focus on the life of our Savior Jesus. Almost like the people of today are simply too busy, have too much on their minds to gain anything by following Jesus' path to his cross. And oddly enough, I can at least understand this reaction. God in Christ does take a bit of getting used to, does take some teaching to come to. The disciples certainly felt this way. No, it's far easier to simply focus on the Jesus who verbally takes on all comers, who heals with a word, who lightens the load of those around him, without us having to get too deep into what his obedience eventually cost him and will cost us should we choose to follow. Unlike God, who in today's reading transfigures Jesus, making him shine in a foretaste of his glory and declares him his son, many seek to re-image Jesus into a personal caricature rather than our Savior. Given the chance, even believers will try to slough off all this Son of God talk in order to get someone who is small enough to in stature that they can simply ignore what he commands. Gone is the Son of Man, and away with this mountaintop experience that we have read about and heard about this morning, and forget all this faith business. We can just write a check to our favorite charity or work a few days serving the poor, and really, seriously, that should be enough, right? That should be enough for anyone. But you see, when people do this, when believers do this in the name of getting to a Jesus that they can understand or feel comfortable with, they never really succeed in accomplishing that. They never succeed because the Jesus they craft simply isn't the real Jesus. They have tried to fabricate a Jesus who will deal with the issues they think they have, rather than the grave problem that all humans have. Some want a well-intentioned buddy, but we all need the Son of God. Some form of him into a benevolent teacher. Some form him into a social worker. Some a vengeful judge. Some a 60s peace and love hippie. Some overemphasize his humanity, some overemphasize his divinity. Some will tell you that he is simply a figment of an overwrought imagination. Why not just follow the golden rule if we must follow anything at all and just get on with our lives? You see, in this way, many of us are just like Peter, James, and John in today's gospel reading. Before the transfiguration, Jesus had told them what was going to happen to him. He must suffer, and he must die, and they were unhappy with that. They just couldn't believe it. It didn't fit in with their idea of the Messiah coming to Israel to take them out of their misery. Yet even at the transfiguration itself, this strong human desire reasserts itself to rationalize fact into some kind of predetermined worldview. It's evident. For Peter, James, and John, the transfigured Jesus, transformed by God the Father to shine in splendor as his son, to converse with Moses and Elijah, each in turn, to be glorious, is certainly much, much more appealing than the one who will suffer and die for the sins of the whole world. The disciples immediately seize on the vision before him. Peter, out of love and being a fallen human, transfixed by God's glory, gladly chooses to ignore all that Jesus had said about his impending suffering and death, so that Peter can put Jesus in this booth that he's going to build that only holds the happy, the glorious, the triumphant Jesus that he sees before him on that mount. But Jesus rejects this plan. He rejects it. He will not be put in Peter's dwelling. Instead, Jesus tells the three to not say anything, not share what they had seen with anyone else, and rightly so, for fear that others would continue to put him in a box, him in a dwelling, to capture their favorite moments of Jesus rather than the Jesus who is standing in front of them. To have him as the kind of Messiah that they wanted rather than the Savior he is. And so Jesus sets his face towards Jerusalem and towards the cross. He walks away from this small picture frame of what perhaps we think Jesus should be to us. Jesus walks toward the truth of God's plan of salvation. He marches towards that cross, bound only by the Father's will. And you see, friends, it is here that we see God's plan of salvation. There, hanging on the cross, bearing all our sins. There, disfigured, beaten, bloody, dying. We see the true transfiguration, the full glory of the Son's sacrifice for each one of us. Held not by our ridiculous need for a small friend we can take out when we're feeling a little blue. Jesus, held not by our small wants and desires, but our Savior held by three nails on that cross. And then, to be taken from that cross and placed in a tomb, really the only human box that would ever hold him. And even then, only for 3 days until he rose victorious and glorious. Unless we think, seriously, unless we think that we today in 2011 are holier than the disciples up on that mount, we should all remember that all of us, at one time or another, try to whittle Jesus down to a size that, you know, that we can contend with. Size that is comfortable or convenient. We all want a Jesus who would do it our way if only we could control him. Believers are thankful that Jesus will not be bought, not be sold, not be refashioned to suit us. Our own repackaging of Jesus, which will happen no matter what, does not change the truth of his majesty. If we try to repackage him as law, his grace melts that box. If we try to package him as only vengeful, his love seeps through. If we try to package him as our buddy whom we can ignore when he gets out of line or asks the ridiculous from us, his righteousness will pour through those seams. You see, instead of trying to constantly shove Jesus into the tiny boxes of our imaginations or rationalizations, believers need to trust in the love of God, fall on our knees before the truths of the Word made flesh, Jesus of Nazareth, and his revelation in the words of Scripture. Because it is in the Bible, in fact, that we see the true Jesus. It was not the transfigured Christ that paid our debt and freed us from slavery and sin and death, but the blood of the crucified Christ. It was not a repackaged Jesus who loved us so much that he was willing to go to the cross to save everyone in this room, including the preacher. The only one who can save us from sin and death is, in fact, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father, who walked to the cross, rejected this human notion of what glory actually is. The one who rose from the dead 3 days later. There is no salvation, friends, to be found in a repackaged Jesus who is anything less than what God, His own Father, declared Him to be. My Son, the Beloved. So friends, seriously, as we move into Lent, let us pray that Jesus breaks forth from all our attempts to repackage Him and comes like fire, like wind, like earthquake, like sheer silence to repackage us as adopted children of God. Let us pray. O God, who before the passion of Thy only begotten Son didst reveal His glory upon that holy mount, grant unto us that we, beholding by faith the light of His countenance, may be strengthened to bear our cross and be changed into His likeness from glory to glory through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with Thee in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.